Hello, welcome back to the Health Revival Show. Hopefully you are warm. We are in California right now, so we are warm. But in Illinois, it is stupid cold.
It's so negative. Bad. I know. It feels Nick's in Vegas right now while we're recording, and it's, you know, in the 70s where we're going to Malibu area, so it'll be in the low 70s. I'm just excited. So I don't know if you've seen these reels, but there are people that make fun of this grocery store called Erewhon in California because it's obscenely expensive. And so they'll like go through the aisles and they'll be like, what? Macadamia butter, almond butter, $70. I must have it. And they like throw it in their cart and they're like, do you have eggs that are shaped in a circle carton versus a long carton? $70. I'm taking it. And it's like making fun of all that. I'm like, I don't want to go to this store. I'm not going to spend $70 on eggs. Like,
oh my goodness. But I know that we're going to go there or whatever. And I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. So
I've just seen these reels making fun of the store. Cause it's like, did you see Matt Damon at Erewhon? Like it's, I don't know. It's like Whole Foods on crack in terms of prices.
Oh my goodness. I'll have to look it up. The store by us, that is going to be by us, HEB in Texas. Holy moly. I mean, it's like a mini Target / Mariano's / Whole Foods / Vitamin Shop.
It's amazing.
It's really crazy. We went there when we got in late Friday night and grabbed some stuff just to like have dinner and snacks in our room because we didn't want to go out to eat or anything. And I was like, there's so many goodies here that I'm finding. I want everything. So anyways, we are talking a little bit about mindset. It's Mindset Monday. We will call it that today. And it's going to be a short and sweet one for you. So hopefully you can get this in maybe on your drive to work or wherever you are listening. But we're going to talk about a few habits to drop in 2026. And I love this topic. I think so many people are focused on adding more, adding more, adding more, and then they feel overwhelmed and then they don't really add those things and follow through. But this is just a bit different way of thinking about, you know, your life and how you're showing up for your life. And the comparison is a thief of joy and how hard you are on yourself. So I'm excited. Let's get into it.
I heard this. This was a sermon at my church this past weekend from a guest pastor from Texas. And he's a friend of the church. So he comes and gives sermons every now and then. And he's like, you know, everyone enters the year and like, maybe I bet God would like me if I lost some weight. Like, I bet he would like me a little bit more if I, you know, didn't have this spare tire around the middle and I didn't eat those chips every day. And he's like, and the first habit I think is, and I put this poll on my Instagram, and this was the biggest one that people responded to, was the inner critic. And constant self-criticism does not create growth. It doesn't honestly, I think, even create any type of happiness. And I think people that are the hardest on themselves are the most miserable. You create nervous system stress, you create self-doubt, you create burnout because you're never good enough. You're always going, when you are in this mindset, you are always going to find something that's wrong with you. And it's an intentional mindset shift, that has to happen because you cannot build confidence when you're constantly attacking yourself. You cannot, you know, respond positively to criticism because you're going to see it as a threat. And you don't become disciplined by hating yourself, you know? And I'm not saying that displeased with where you are can't fuel a little bit where you're going, but you have to respect your body and respect yourself when you're trying to get there. And I think, you know, social media will criticize you enough. You will always find someone that doesn't like you. That's, you know, not hard to find these days. People have their opinions, but you have to like you. Like there was Modern Wisdom's podcast. He actually shared a clip with, I don't know if it was Willie Nelson or who it was. Is Willie Nelson even still alive? I don't know. But it was this guy that had like super long beard. He was, you know, very hick looking. And he must be someone famous, obviously, if the guy from Modern Wisdom is interviewing him. But he was like, you know, I'd buy me a drink. I like me. I have warts and I got scars and I got this scriggly beard. But like, I'd buy me a cigar. I think I'm fun to hang around with. And like, it's just such an honest way of looking at yourself. And I'm like, I want to be, you know, yeah. I feel like I'm friendly. I'm interesting. I want to, you know, I would want to talk to me. And that's how I think you should have to see yourself. You have to like you. And if you don't, then do something about it. I don't think self-acceptance is settling by any means, but I think you can accept where you are without being satisfied staying there and without hating yourself at the same time.
All right, if you're dealing with water retention, you're waking up puffy, your ankles or your wrists are really swollen, or you can't get your rings off, and maybe you're even dragging throughout the day, no matter how much water you drink, there's actually a good chance that you're not actually hydrating properly.
Exactly, because water alone is not enough. You need electrolytes. You need sodium, potassium, magnesium, because those things actually pull water into your cells. Otherwise, you're basically just flushing it out and wondering why you're still tired, you're still bloated, and you're still sluggish.
But here's the thing. Most electrolyte supplements out there aren't helping you in any way because a lot of them contain things like natural flavors, food dyes, and maltodextrin, which can irritate your gut. And these things can also spike your blood sugar when you're trying to heal.
That's why we both started using Buoy. It's super simple, just trace minerals and electrolytes in liquid form. No flavors, no colors, no sugar, no sweeteners, and you squeeze it into whatever you are drinking. Water, coffee, tea, smoothies, you name it.
And it's clinically backed by science too. So studies have shown that Buoy helps you hydrate better, 64% better in fact, and that's data coming from key blood and urinary markers, not just marketing fluff. And honestly, you can feel the difference. I've had many clients tell me their digestion's improved, they have less headaches, and they're better energy throughout the day.
And Buoy isn't just for people that go to the gym all the time and sweat a bunch. They actually offer a 35% lifetime discount for anyone that's struggling with chronic illnesses. Things like POTS, Hashimoto's, Crohn's disease, chronic migraines, and every autoimmune condition. They're really committed to making better hydration accessible to people who need it most.
I actually throw it in my coffee every morning because it's such an easy upgrade. You don't even taste it, but you're definitely going to notice if you miss it.
If you're tired of playing hydration roulette and want something that actually supports your body, you've got to try Buoy. It's honestly one of the simplest ways to feel better faster.
Yeah. And I think for people, if you want to bring this into, you know, how do we comprehend this in different areas of life? Because I think some individuals might like themselves and like their personality. They could be very funny. They could be the life of the party, the PTO mom, the popular one. But on the other hand, they're not happy where they're at physically, you know, and then that in turn is impacting their relationship with their spouse, right? Intimately. And so I think it's just taking an evaluation of where are you and what are the things that you want to change about yourself? And then what are you doing about that? Because you're going to love yourself a lot more when you're actively working on yourself. We are all a work in progress consistently. And it doesn't mean that it's like body dysmorphia. It's, hey, I got some jiggly fat that I want to clean up. I still got some of that cellulite in my upper ass that I want to clean up, you know? And that's okay. But at the same time, recognizing the good and how far you've come and starting to say to yourself, look at how my hard work is paying off. Again, whether that's a physical outcome or it's something that you're doing to get better at a certain craft, right? A hobby, a skill, relationship, making new friends, wherever it is. And I think the people who are most miserable are those who are so hard on themselves because they're not there yet. They're never there yet. Nothing is ever good enough. And honestly, you make other people around you miserable too when you're like that. And one thing I wanted to just share here is I was talking with one of our mentors around, you know, some of those automatic negative thoughts and how much this can just creep in with even a lot of the mindset work that we do and the self-development that we do. But some days it feels like you just can't get those thoughts out of your head, right? Like these negative, woe is me thoughts, like the world is crumbling, things aren't going according to plan, everything is burning down. But one of the things that he shared, and I thought that this was so encouraging to hear, is that even for, you know, the people that we look up to, the people that we think have made it, they struggle with the same things we struggle with in terms of that, you know, mentality. And so just recognizing that you're always going to be off course, and it's all about how you write yourself, you write your mindset back onto, no, I don't accept that. That's false, because a lot of times your brain is saying things that are actually untrue. And so just redirecting those thoughts, reframing those thoughts if you need to. Put down, you know, reminders, put things on your calendar. I love you. You're awesome. You're a badass. Make a list of wins in your phone. I've been talking about this too in regards to people who are on healing journeys. Make a list of things that have shifted and that, you know, the days that you have that are really good, because then on the days or times that you feel like you were just beating yourself up, you can go back to that proof to say, no, I'm actually doing the things that are helping me improve my life. People are recognizing, I got this comment from someone, my husband noticed, my pants fit better, my boss, you know, gave me praise, I just got a raise, whatever that looks like, because it's absolutely something that every single person, and they're lying to you if they say that this isn't true for them, struggles with in some capacity, some way, shape, or form.
I just wanted to add, like, are you someone that cannot take a compliment? Those types of people where you're like, oh my gosh, your hair looks so good today. And they're like, oh yeah, but I had to, you know, I had to chop it off. And then like, they get into this thing of like putting themselves down. If you are someone that struggles to take a compliment, that's a really, really clear sign that you are that inner critic piece that needs work. You know, I think those are always awkward situations when like you try to be nice to someone and then they turn it into a really awkward negative conversation. So yeah, on to number two. Comparison. And this is probably the biggest one, I think, in today's world with social media.
It's the thief of joy, right? It's the mentality of what do they have that I don't, keeping up with the Joneses. And it really is the fastest way to disconnect with your progress and where you're going. Your goals are your goals. What fulfills you and fills your cup up is not the same as what fulfills someone else. I think Becca and I are very similar in a lot of ways. We're also very different in a lot of ways in terms of what really fills our cup up. And we have different interests. We have different likes. At the same time, we have a lot of similarities. To try to live and be like her would be stupid of me, because I would ultimately end up becoming unhappy, right? I'm not chasing the things that truly I desire. And so thinking about where you are compared to what you're looking at, it's okay to say, hey, you know, I look up to this person and they have built a business that I desire to build. So I don't idle them, but I maybe want to watch what are the habits, the behaviors, how do they live their life, and not compare myself, but use that as, you know, a goal, not really a goal even, but, you know, just a little bit of encouragement that they're showing me what is possible on the days again that I feel like things aren't going according to plan, because their chapter is completely different. And I'm going to speak now on the side of new practitioners. So Becca and I have had a lot of people reach out to us in terms of mentorship. And a lot of them will say, what you guys have built is amazing. I would love to have a business thriving like that someday with a team, and or I would love to be a part of a team. It took us a long time to get here. We are on chapter 50. Don't compare our chapter to where you are if you are just starting out or you're in the first 1 to 3 years of your business. We are going into almost a decade of business, and there have been a lot of failures. There's been a lot of lessons. There's been a lot of learnings. And that's what, you know, in our mentorship program, we want to help people not have to, you know, fail as much or have as many boulders as we did. But we want to show you what's possible that you can do as well, because you're unique and you have a skill set and you have a story that someone needs to hear. But if you sit there and you compare your business to another person who is ahead of you, that's not going to be healthy, and that will very quickly burn you out. So, you know, thinking about putting those blinders on and knowing that at the end of the day, when you lay your head on the pillow, you showed up in the way that you needed to for your business. I distinctly remember the feeling of, I don't know what the actual F I'm doing, but I'm going to sit here with my computer and I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep coming up with ideas. I'm going to keep creating these god-awful images that I am not a creative designer for a very specific reason, just, you know, to put out there to the world. I was showing up, and so was Becca, in terms of imperfect action. The videos that we used to do, we were like orange. The lighting was horrible. Our messages were very far, you know, from where they are today, but we had to put in the repetition, and we could only do that by taking action. And so instead of looking at what someone else is doing and wallowing and be like, I'm not there yet, I'm not there yet, I'm not there yet, and beating yourself up, just start journaling, writing down, get in the creative mode. If you need to look at other people for ideas, great, do that. But at the end of the day, you have to put your own spin on it, and you have to know that, like, this is your authentic self. If you don't show up as an authentic version of you because you're constantly comparing and trying to be like someone else, you will never be happy.
I think that's the biggest piece, because when you compare, I think it starts to, you lose your identity. You start to try to become who you think people are going to like. And then even if you do accomplish that, I think that's one of the most terrifying things. Like, what if I accomplish something amazing being someone I'm not even happy with, you know? And so, or authentic with, or, you know, I think another big thing is when people try to explain concepts that, like, they may not understand themselves, you know, because they're trying to look smart on Instagram or social media, or they're trying to sell something or whatever it might be. That's something I have really had to disconnect myself from social media in a way to be able to become my authentic self of, like, the message I want to send and what I want to be preaching about and talking about. Because when I end up on stages, just like when Liz ends up on bigger stages, I want to be confident in what I'm talking about. I want to know that, like, I built this with something that is me and authentically me. And comparison just, I think, fractures all of that, because you're letting other people inspire what your standards are, and you aren't the one that's defining your worth. You're letting, and then you're putting that happiness in the hands of everyone else. Like, that's not a way to live. You can't control that. You need to control your happiness, and you need to put the blinders on. The person, I always think, like, who would I not want my competition to be? The person that's focused, the person that does what they say they're going to do, that says no to things that aren't in alignment with who they are, that isn't people pleasing, which will bring us into our last one. But, like, that's who I need to become, is the person I wouldn't want to face. You know? So yeah, it can be a lonely road sometimes, especially when, you are building yourself and building your brand or building who you want to become. But what you have to kind of resolve in is that it is authentic. It feels you. And that's where you can find peace. It's like, I know what I'm becoming, and what I want is who I want to become. Like, that is yeah, the road that I'm on.
I would also just add here, in terms of when you are comparing yourself to someone else, you are not thinking as big as maybe what God has for you. Because if you start looking at, this person does $10,000 a month, I want to be like her, right? Okay, cool. That's like a good carrot to reach for. No, I want hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. I want, you know, $500,000 a month. Like, wherever you're at with your business and your growth, if you are always comparing yourself to someone else, you're thinking small. You will never think as grand as God has for you, or see that bigger vision. So that leads us to number three. You have to drop the people pleasing. This is really hard.
It is.
Because you want to be liked. That's our human nature. We want to be liked. We don't want people to talk bad about us. We want people to, you know, talk about us in the way that is, wow, she's awesome, you got to watch her content, this and that. But you're always going to have something that rubs somebody the wrong way. We have a lot of long-standing followers and listeners and clients. I am sure that sometimes I say things that they don't like. I'm sure that we have different views on certain things in life. I'm sure that sometimes when I say a swear word, they're like, man, I wish she didn't do that, because, you know, to some people that looks not good. At the end of the day, it's my authentic self. When I'm speaking about something, if I'm passionate, if that word comes out, I'm not going to apologize for it. I was making a point, right? And if I let other people try to shift how I show up, then I'm constantly in this comparison mode. I'm constantly worrying that I will, you know, disappoint people. And you just will always disappoint people if that's the way that you're living your life. And that goes back to kind of what we said before, is like, you have to be authentic to you. People know if you're not being authentic, if you're being fake, you know. And this is just, again, where accepting, I'm not for everyone, that's okay. I know that there will be people that I am for, but that also don't love certain parts, right? And that's okay too, because I listen to some podcasts that I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not feeling it today, right? Or there are topics that I'm like, okay, I don't agree with this, move on. But then there's a lot of the really good. And so it's also just remembering that you don't have to like all of someone unless you're marrying them. But I still have things about my husband. I'm like, sometimes your feet stink. You know, I don't like that about you, you know, or whatever it might be. So there would just be some things there. But you have to, you know, also think about this in a way that you teach people how to treat you with what you tolerate. Mm-hmm. And so even in a conversation I had earlier this week, I was telling Becca, it's a practitioner. We have differing opinions on some personal care products. Okay, you do you, boo. It's not your body. If you don't want to use these things, that's completely fine. If you feel like it's toxic, even though I've done my due diligence and research and from the education knowledge I have and the people I've spoken to, I feel pretty comfortable using this as a semi-clean product. But I also have to pick my poison. And again, there could be a lot of things that person likes about me, but they disagree with that makeup I use. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, if a few people think that you're an asshole, big deal. If everyone thinks you're an asshole, you probably have a problem. Like, there's probably something that needs to be addressed, right? But like, you can still be kind and be firm. You can be loving and have limits. Like, I think both of those things absolutely can exist in the same thing. And a lot of times the people that will stand up to you and will be firm are probably the people that care about you more than the people pleasers. Like, you want those people in your life. You want the people that are going to tell you like it is, that are going to let you know when maybe you're doing something that isn't in alignment with who you want to be, that you said you were going to do something and you didn't. And they're letting you know, like, hey, you're not sticking up for yourself right now. You know, those are the people, those are the friends I want in my corner, because I know they're going to stand up for me. I know they're going to stand up for themselves. They're going to be who they truly believe and say that they are. And so people pleasing is something I am an ex people pleaser that I'm still, I would say I'm a recovering people pleaser. I don't know if I'm an ex people pleaser yet. I grew up my full life just wanting people to like me and trying to be someone that I wasn't. And I'm sure there's even some PTSD from like some old, you know, work relationships and people that I fell into that because I was afraid of them more than anything. And I fell into constantly trying to please and being uncomfortable in my own self and my own skin. And it's so freeing to finally start to stand up for yourself and be who you are and believe in what you believe in and not give a damn. Because like, I don't want friends just by people pleasing. That's not the friends that I want. And
walk on eggshells.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the worst. Some of those
relationships. You were walking on eggshells.
Exactly. And so, you know, I'm going to find my people by being who I want to be. Right. Those are the people that belong in my life that deserve myself. And the other people, like, okay, kick rocks. I don't need you in my life. There's plenty of other people in this world that I'm sure would love and appreciate me for who I am. And so, you know, I think as long as you're not being a total jerk and you feel good about who you are and you're truly just standing up for what you believe in and not tolerating things and not burning yourself into the ground for other people, the right people will end up in your life and the right life will be developed around you. So
yeah, one thing Leila Hormozi said recently on a podcast that I loved is it takes about 80 hours to build a friendship. I asked myself, do I want to spend 80 hours with this person? And if I don't, and honestly, that was like, oh, ooh, okay. Because I have friendships in my life where I've been kind of evaluating. I feel guilty for saying no, but at the same time, I don't really want to go. And I mean, now I have excuses because I have so much stuff going on, you know, in terms of like selling the house and moving and everything. And it's not that I don't like that person. It's just that at this point in life and this season, I feel that I'm giving more than I'm getting. And I've really started to take an evaluation when I walk away from something. How does that person make me feel? Do I feel that I gained something from that? Was my life, you know, improved? Did we have a good laugh? Or did I just sit there and listen to them complain about their life, but yet they're not taking action to do anything about it? Because I can't handle that anymore. I don't have any patience any longer for people who are not resolving or trying to resolve their problems. And it's just this woe is me complaining and I'm the victim mentality. And I think that when, you know, to wrap this up, when we look at how we start to look at accepting ourselves, the truth is acceptance doesn't mean that you're like, well, this is just who I am. I've just always been this way, right? I am who I am and I'm not going to change. Or other people say that this is who I am. And so that's who I am, right? I will just be this way forever. It's really about, I see where I am without shame. I know I have my flaws. Everyone does. But I'm choosing to be disciplined and take action to become better. I am committed to being better every single day. And I used to say this a lot, and we haven't talked about it in a long time, but that 1% better every day mentality. And so it could be simple things, such as you're listening to a podcast that's making you think differently. You're expanding your mind in some way, shape, or form, whether that is, a long form content on YouTube, a podcast, a book, you're in your Bible, right? You're doing things that you know you need to be doing. And at the end of this all, you are, which even is even more important, not doing things. Because a lot of people, let's put, for example, weight loss, say they have these goals of losing weight or getting stronger, or it could be making more money or getting a husband. But at the end of the day, they're not fueling your body right. They're not showing up to the gym and moving and working towards those goals. They're not putting themselves in a position to go on dates, right? If they want to get a spouse, they're not spending the time they should spend on their business because they're spending too much time doing so much other BS crap, like people pleasing and saying yes to things that they shouldn't be saying yes to. And so what you don't do is actually more important sometimes than what you do do. So these are the habits that we would encourage you to let go in 2026, and you'll be surprised just how much you step into your power and how much things can shift.